Good morning and welcome to another TBP Talks. Today we are going to discuss all things health and fitness and the regulations around the wellness industry with Fab Giovanetti, founder of Health Bloggers Community, and she is here with me now. Hello.
Hello, Olivia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I have a coffee in my hands.
You do?
That's all I need.
I know, it's quite early still, isn't it? So we're in need of coffee at the moment. But let's touch on Health Bloggers Community. So what inspired you to start this online platform?
What inspires me to create anything I create, to be very honest, is the look for a need. And at the time there was a need, but going back 6.5 years ago now, and there was a need for people to come together and talk about green juices when green juices weren't cool, when green juices were still the new thing. It's kind of one of those things, things go up, become trends, and then they go back down, and then they just become kind of like the norm, you know, which I appreciate. But at the time, it was just literally looked upon, why are you having this green slab? I was like, I want to have friends to talk about green slimes. And we kind of all gathered together. And at first, it was just me being, you know, entrepreneur, being a freelancer, doing my thing, and on the side, running this group. Then the first thing that happened was brands wanted to work with bloggers. And this is where I realized that, you know, the bloggers could just, you know, turn this into something in the passion. And I was like, what am I good at? And I thought, I'm good at teaching people, educating people, supporting people. And this is what I thought, okay, how can I create a safe space for people to learn and come together, and then opportunities come their way. And I think it was when I was spending 20 hours a week, roughly, just doing this passion thing on top of my clients. And I was like, something has to give, you need to make it official. So the HBC came down from that. And since then, it kind of refined itself more and more, which I find that's usually what happens. But the aim is always the same, helping influencers and bloggers and professionals that kind of create content make an impact in health and wellness. That's kind of how I see it.
That's amazing. And I think people will be interested to know what you were up to professionally before that. I know you mentioned clients, but what were you actually doing for them? Was it digital and social related?
Indeedy. I go back when with doing three jobs in a row, like together, all together, mashed up, wasn't cool. So I was doing my full-time job. I've done community management for our event platform. So we do loads of events now. So I learned a lot from that. And then management and marketing for a UX designer company. And whilst I was doing that, I was, so I changed industries, but I was always doing the same, a bit of PR and social media. And digital in general, so content as well.
Amazing.
I've always been doing that, and then I stopped doing that for others, and I found that a health and wellness professional didn't have any coaches that can help them. So I was like, I'm gonna teach them stuff, and I just went from there. So I used what I would use usually for magazines and PR companies, and applied it to our, you know, the little health and wellness professionals that were popping around. But again, it was really early stages. Now there are plenty of coaches for health and wellness professionals.
Yeah.
Before that, it wasn't a thing. So I found myself as a little of a accidental trendsetter.
That's amazing. And are you passionate about wellness and health? And are you into fitness? And is that sort of something that's always been in your life that you then wanted to help others do?
I suppose it was underlying. My mom always loved like Ayurveda, which people are getting familiar with right now. So you will hear more about Ayurveda soon, guys. You heard it from me first.
Yeah. I've actually heard of Ayurveda.
Bam.
Yeah.
See,
this my mom's a nutritionist, so I'm on it. But yeah, see? I think it will be a big thing soon.
Ticking the boxes. But my mom was doing it because of my family doctor is kind of like a natural doctor, you would call it, like a natural practitioner. So I was pretty much born doing that.
Amazing.
Yoga is something that I tried when I was 17 because, and again, I'm spoiler alert, I'm 28, so we go back. And then I just, you know, then I came into London. I changed, you know, I went from Italy, I came to the UK first and then to London. So I kind of lost this because life and pace and stuff. And it was just kind of, for me, it was natural. So I lost the spark for it. And then when I left my proper full-time job and I started doing what I mentioned with the coaching, coming back to wellness and taking care of my body and myself kind of gave me the energy that I was looking for. And then my dad was diagnosed with cancer then, and that was when I thought there must be a way to help yourself to feel better. Okay, at the time I thought there must be a way to help yourself feel better during, you know, when you're in this kind of position, but in general, to be honest. So the kind of like the reborn passion for health and wellness kicked in. And so I did all the studying because I love teaching, but I'm also a student because teachers are students. So I did IIN, so I'm a certified a health coach, and I'm a PT as well.
Fantastic.
I just wanted to learn, and I'm, to be very honest, I use it more for my own knowledge.
Yeah.
I find that a lot of influencers that we have, the bloggers that we have, use it also for their own knowledge. What I'm passionate about is the marketing side of it. The health and wellness is what is part of my life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
More than the passion.
Yeah.
If you're passionate too much about both, then you kind of take them, both of them, too seriously, or they both become your soul, you know, part of living. And I love to know what's going on in health and wellness, but what I love to understand and decode is how, you know, the online world works.
Yeah.
That's what fascinates me, and kind of that's where I'm bridging the gap, I suppose.
Amazing. So on the health bloggers community, what can people find on there? Kind of what content is there? How can people be coached on there? Do you put on events? Sort of what can people find?
The HBC is kind of split into two ways. So there is the UK membership. It's an online membership, and it's mainly aimed at UK and Irish bloggers, to be very honest. Mainly because this is kind of where the opportunities come from brands that we work with and from our events. But the online itself has got, we have challenges there. So we have 4 flagship challenges and some masterclasses, and we just run every so that we run a new challenge every month, and we kind of get the community to do it with us. We also have win monthly classes or lessons or Q&As, plus a flagship course, which is from blog to product, which is when you actually want to launch a product. So that's kind of all the online side of things. And then tying with that, we have the events, which are the summit, which runs in London now, Bristol this year, and also Dublin. And this is more a conference for health and wellness bloggers and professionals. Then we have the Health Blog Awards, which we're working on right now. And that's pretty much it. And the awards kind of tie in with the last step, which is the magazine, where also the bloggers promo has been featured a few times.
We have, yeah.
Bam. But that's where we also give the influencers, the bloggers, a place to shine. And the brands that we work with and we interact with, the other brands that I run, we want to shine a light on, you know, the small players that are really like trying to make an impact in health and wellness. And I find that the magazine is a really good way to get to know the influencers, to get to know the bloggers, to get to know our brands, and in general, to get to know what some influencers do and the products they're creating. You know, influencers are becoming entrepreneurs more and more, and I want to shine a light on that as much as possible. So it's online training with the membership. The membership includes discounts and, you know, ways to be part of our events also in a more proactive way, not just attendees, but anybody can join the events. And then we have the magazine, which provides loads of free content and really brings people together that way as well.
Well, we will link everything below. So for any wellness or health influencers listening, because I'm sure there will be, we will put everything below so you can check it out. It was fascinating actually, because I was looking into sort of the industry, and I think it was dubbed to be worth 4.3 trillion last year, which is obviously absolutely huge. And I think this probably is largely due to the fact that there is now a whole new generation of influencers who have burst onto the wellness scene. So have you found that these influencers are playing a critical role in the belief of wellness?
Yes, because there's kind of like a hero journey, the Campbell hero journey. If you are a writer or if you are a storyteller, you would love Campbell's hero journey, because that's how stories are told and stories catch on. By the way, I know this because I've wrote a book as well, and the book is all about telling stories and habits of influencers. So telling stories is great, and the hero journey goes like this. The hero journey goes with you kind of learning your trade and then going through the big hurdle and challenge and learning the things and the issues and, you know, like the big dragon that you have to slay or whatever the obstacle might be, and then the kind of like the end and the resolution. I think life is a lot of your journeys, it's not just one, obviously. But I find that the influencers tend to start in two ways. Either you are very passionate about the industry and you're younger and you kind of want to start knowing and learning, and more influencers, which I think is the best thing to do anyway, they want to start learning in whatever online, offline course, or whichever way they want to start getting qualifications, slowly or faster it may be. Or some of them are already qualified. And I find that this is where the influencers in this industry have a different set of assets and skills than, for example, a fashion and beauty influencer. Nothing wrong with that. But the qualifications, the knowledge, the learning, it combines two things. It combines the people that create great content with also incredible information that you can apply on the daily basis.
Yeah.
And the credibility is something that I strongly believe in, and we're going to definitely talk about it in a second.
Yeah.
And I find that without these people that can support the brands that want to grow, because objectively the net worth of the wellness market is mainly based on the brands, the products that are coming out. And the reason why these brands also get so much widespread is because of the influencers that can share and they can validate and they can support and recommend these brands. So it's a very good synergy, and I think it's gone faster than most industries, mm-hmm. just because it has also that kind of extra level of credibility, which is a bit of a double-edged sword. But again, as we're going to talk about, we're really trying to make things clear and more transparent when it comes to that.
I think you're right in the sense that they have a lot more depth. Like you say, you know, if there's a personal trainer, they can also talk about food and they can also do panel talks and they can do the podcast, whereas some other niches, I guess, are a little bit different. But switching from the influencers to the brand, so there obviously have been some occasions where wellness brands have maybe made headlines for making controversial claims or about products and services. So did you see this start to sort of affect the industry and erode the public's trust a bit? Because there are quite a lot of wellness health food brands out there that maybe aren't as credible as they should be.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give you a little plug, because just as a little, like, you know, on the back, I like to say like the behind the scenes. So we're gonna have with us today, I'm kind of like creating a little shape of her, Sarah, who is the founder of Wellspoken Mark, who created the register, which, spoiler alert, is gonna come very soon. We're gonna talk about it, and she is the lady of credibility. She is my vessel of credibility. So I'm going to kind of borrow her words, and I'll definitely recommend you, if you want to understand better how actually the public sees the industry, Wellspoken is the place to go. And I'm really thankful that she partnered with us so that we could create the register together, because she brings the credibility in, I bring the marketing and the advertising and the partnerships in. So from what I learned from her, and what she does is she really tries to create standards for the brand side of things, because that's such a different plethora of elements, because it's not just the claims that you make, it's also the products that you're giving out, what the effects of the products will have. So I can definitely say that what she's seen with her research with Wellspoken is that the public is very confused, and trustworthiness is so important, and we need to definitely try to get it back. I believe that trustworthiness is a combination of expertise and credibility, and again, trust itself. And what I've seen from working with Sarah and Wellspoken, especially when devising the curriculum for the register, is that the influencer has a small part and almost they have an easier job than the brands.
Oh, definitely.
Because objectively, when we work with influencers with the register, we really shine a light on the editorial side of it, editorial policy and what you say, as well as partnerships, obviously. But the brands have there's every aspect of their brand need to be, put under scrutiny sometimes, because the headlines might be about something they say, but then you need to make sure that whatever claim you've made, is it also present in your label? Is it also part of your overall strategy? Is it in your website? Is it part of wherever that is said, whatever that is written, that is going to be a liability for you. So I think things have changed slightly because everybody's a bit more aware of this. But when Sarah and Wellspoken did their first big research to define the code of conduct and standards that she's trying to create, the situations wasn't bleak, but you can definitely tell that the consumers were like, mate, give me something here because I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to trust. And that is it's not a good place to be if you want to help people making a positive impact, I believe.
Definitely.
So this is me again. I'm doing a little shape of Sarah again. She will be able to make it more eloquent than me when it comes to this stuff. I'm literally like the baby and she's the overall teacher. But this is kind of what I've seen as well.
That's amazing. So to address the need of credibility, Health Bloggers Community have now partnered. So you have partnered with
Wellspoken
Mark, and you have created or founded this new register, which we keep talking about. So it's the Register of Health and Wellness Influencers. And it's the first and only independent register for wellness influencers. So what can influencers find and do on there?
First of all, they can understand why. Because just think is the important thing. It's like, okay, great, this is all well and groovy, but why do we need a register?
Yeah.
And this is like, what is the need? And again, this is where we kind of came back together and we realized, to me, for example, I'll tell you what I've seen from the brand side of it. As I said, Sarah and Wellspoken work on credibility and I work on the partnerships and advertising. And what I've seen is that on the brand side, a lot of the brands that we've been working with, whether it's sponsors for events or like helping them with, you know, connecting with some of our influencers and stuff, they were just feeling like they couldn't trust the influencers in the way that they weren't sure they were the right fit. If you know, anything from the follower quality, but also to just people they worked with before, the advice they put out was in line with the brand. So they were like, I don't know if I can trust the influencers as much, but also if they're professional enough to be able to, you know, stand their own ground, because we help, just like you guys do, we help influencers and brands coming together. But we also need to remember, and I think everybody does, that even if they work with a platform like you, for example, they will still have some interactions with brands on their own sometimes.
Absolutely,
most times.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if we're holding their hands, it's all well and groovy, but sometimes it's young people that are going there and turning themselves into a professional, dealing with negotiation, dealing with partnerships, dealing with agreements or lack thereof. And this was my side where I saw the brands were unhappy with this. And I'm like, okay, you're not unhappy. The influencers aren't happy that they're not taken seriously. Somebody needs to bring these things together. So this is kind of that first element you will find in the register, is there's help giving the influencers a roadmap to treat themselves more professionally, and also to understand ASA and advertising, because, oh God, I had to read it 4 times before I could do. I did a little masterclass for the guys for this year. I had to read it 4 times. I was like, okay, so what is this? And a couple of girls got back to me as I was doing the class. I was explaining, and they asked me the nitpicky questions, because every single case is going to be different. So we try and help them every step of the journey with that. And then in the credibility side, this is where Sarah was like, okay, as an influencer, you need to understand, first of all, what you're saying, and also to decode if what other people are saying is in their remit or out of their remit. So she basically makes this stuff plain English, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're an influencer marketing agency, and we find it that the ASA guidelines are hard. So we did a huge sort of blog and breakdown of it, because it can be complicated.
Exactly. So that's kind of what we found. And when it comes to credibility and understanding if what you're saying, you should be saying it or not, this is where Wellspoken comes in and says, okay, so now you know how to partner with brands, but how can you feel confident with what you're saying online? How can you deal with complaints? How can you deal with, you know, having a simple editorial policy? We run through all of this in the register. So the first thing you can find is a list of the registrants, obviously. When you join the register, because it's probably the easiest thing that you can see anyway, you will get our code of conduct and standards, which, by the way, you can also read from the website if you wanted, just to get an idea of the standards that we're trying to set. And then you get through the training. The training is something that one of our registered dietitians that did it said, oh my God, this was hard. So if she says it, it wasn't long to do. Like, most of the girls that I've done it in the last couple of weeks, like, they literally did all the assessments in one go. But, you know, it takes a bit of time to read it and understand it. But if it's something a bit new to you, but we really want to step up their game. We want you to be able to do the training. And then if a brand approaches you on Instagram, you know exactly what are the next steps in order to take it into a professional level. And if you're feeling a bit uncomfortable about something that you're saying online, you know how you can step back and assess how can you make it, you know, more in line with your editorial policy. So you do it and you understand this stuff. That's the first thing. The training is the big bit. Then we do have kind of ongoing support all year round. Just imagine like an association or nutritionist will do. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that you understand how the industry is changing, and that's very important. But also we keep the influencers accountable, which I think is very important as well. So they go through a check with our partners, our iPoditor, which we partner with actually this month.
Amazing.
So it's a new partnership that we allow our influencers now to go through and check the quality of their followers as well. So we make sure that they kind of start to be a bit more aware of how to do that themselves. And this partnership is great because we didn't have a tool like this, and the guys are happy to combine the tool with us. And the last thing that keeps them accountable is that if somebody has a concern about our registrants, just like you will do, by the way, in case you are a bit unfamiliar with the stuff with ASA, you can report, for example, an advertisement to ASA. Mm. You can do the same with influencers. You can report one of our influencers to us and be like, I don't think this is right. Again, some people said, what if I report somebody else? I'm like, well, we can't do much aside from maybe we have done it, when we can tell these people, listen, like, have you thought about this? It's not our place, obviously. Our place is to make sure that our registrants follow the kind of standards that we're offering, but we want to make sure that everybody is a bit more knowledgeable about what they should be doing. So yeah, imagine it as a new association that allows to bring all these influencers together But it's not just like combining them and assuming that they know what they have to do. It's guiding them to feel more confident about the content they put online and the way they work with brands. This is our big aim.
Amazing. And if our listeners were interested in joining the register, how long roughly would you say take the training takes? And is it an exam that's online?
Yeah, all online. It's about 2 to 3 hours to read the whole...
Yeah.
The whole, beautiful PDFs and our beautiful writing. When it comes to the assessments, I actually done it with one of our influencers, myself. We just kind of did it together because she's also one of my clients. So we just sat down and did it. And I think overall it took us about an hour and a half doing it together.
Okay, so it's a pretty straight, like sort of straightforward.
Yeah, I would say if my suggestion, because of who I am, if you do it in either like a day or a week and then you kind of break it down, kind of get it all done and your memory is fresh.
Yeah.
But it's online assessments. It's mainly like, you know, multiple choices, or you have to kind of give us some feedback on some things, or just we make you think about the way that you do stuff and kind of like assess if you think you're doing it right or wrong. So it's very straightforward and it's about 4 assessments with multiple questions and short paragraphs. So it's more, as I said, it's more understanding the content than actually the amount of work you have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think the register could mark the beginning of sort of regulation in the wellness industry? Sort of what's your goals for the register?
Definitely one of the goals is to make it something that people want to have in order to feel like, especially for us, is also getting brands to understand that they can go to the register, see who is registered with us, and kind of have that confidence to work with these influencers, even on, you know, in whatever they are, whether it's in our platform or anything. So partner with as many platforms as possible to make sure that it becomes just like being part of an association for nutritionists or dietitians would be. It gives that little confidence to the influencers and it gives the confidence to the brands. So we want it to be the place to go to and recognition mark for influencers, the brands and agencies and PRs and platforms can use. But also we want to have as objectively as many people as possible certified. We want to make sure that we become, just like KSA would be for the general marketing and advertising, we want to become the place to be and the place to go to understand what standards are set in the influencer sphere for health and wellness. Some people ask us, and I would like also to hear what you think, because they were asking, well, why not doing it for everybody and everything? And what I found and we found, first of all, it wouldn't be necessarily, because we have the credibility, which is very specific to the wellness.
To wellness, yeah.
Because the background of Wellspoken is in mainstream healthcare. So they understand exactly like the regulations and rules. I just want to clarify that as well. But it's also, I find that I believe there needs to be a wider regulation for the whole influencer marketing industry. But I also believe that within that, there has to be different specific places to go depending on the niche.
Yeah,
because I don't know if you agree with me. I know that there are some places that are trying to create an overall generic big archway, and it's great. But then different industries work in different ways. And I think it's a conversation that you need to have depending on the industry you're in as well.
I definitely think, yeah, niche specific has to be something that's around, because like you said, the wellness and the fitness and the health bloggers do feel like they're a community. So it would be sort of strange if they then went to a body and there was a parenting or a you know, a fashion or something. So I think it's definitely important that it's niche. For influencers that are certified, how can you tell that they're certified? So if it's on Instagram and you were flicking through their profile or you found their website, is there a way to know that they're certified through your register?
Yes. So one of the things that we encourage them, of course, is you can't force them. One of the things that I would say, actually, even before telling you a couple of things that they do, I would also say that some of the things that you will find is that you will find that the tone changes as well. Like the Instagram bio is one of those things that I always say, have you thought about your Instagram bio? Is it actually what it should be? Are you saying thing? I can see that they actually go through their own editorial policies. So if you were to interact with these people, you will see a bit of a difference. All the testimonials that we got, all the feedback that we got is that they now work with brands in a different way. They now put the content out in a different way. They now feel more confident talking about things that they weren't sure they could talk about because they didn't know how to assess if they could. So you see a change in the way that they put themselves forward. Right now we are... ROI is quite a nice acronym. I was thinking, we were thinking about an acronym because we were like, we needed to be as straightforward as possible. And then we thought we're going to be like RDN or whatever. Let's do it ROI. So they can write ROI members, and a couple of guys have been doing it already. It's really cool because the partnership with iPoditor means that if you were to check, iPoditor is, you have a free report for every influencer that you want to check online. if you check our register members, you have to have at least 1K. That's the way that they kind of like the iPod is able to get their data. But all of the ones that have above 1K, they are in iPod editor now, and they have a little badge of recognition.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're going to do more of that. We're going to try and encourage platforms and other places to be able to have that little recognition and be like, they are, you know, ROE certified. To us, it's like a small thing, and people say that then they feel, it's that confidence, it's that level of confidence. And then if the more people know about it, the more they're like, okay, this means they're following some standards.
Yeah.
And even as a brand, I think, or as an agency, sometimes you feel frustrated because you're like, who am I going to say, okay, this influencer, I don't know, hasn't delivered or stuff. There's nowhere to go. Now you can go to us and be like, this person hasn't delivered. And as I said, what we can do is just facilitate that conversation. And we always help people with their next steps as well. So this is kind of what you're seeing. So on a outer level, there is a change in the way that these people put themselves forward and more confidence. On a more specific level, we're just at the beginning where we are trying to find the right partners that can put the little seeds and little avocados around, whatever it is, just to...
Avocados, love that.
You know, just that name. It's like, ROE, people will start associating... Like, if people say the HBC and you are within the community or the wider community, people know what it is.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a bit like you guys. If you say the name or if you say, like...
TBP or HBC.
People will imagine what it is. That's what we want ROE to become.
Amazing. I like ROE as well. It's quite catchy.
I know.
I like it. And obviously, we will link everything below, but what is the actual website domain if people want to go and check it out?
It's ROE.org, and we made it so that the handles everywhere are at ROE_org. So it's pretty much the same.
And ROE is spelt?
ROHWI.
Just in case, because yes! I know even I would be like, how would you spell that?
Okay. Sorry, the Italian, as I was saying before we went live, we tend to read things how they're spelled, which is the problem for some people. So for me, it's obvious, but I get it.
No, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us about the register. It's been really lovely to hear about it. And I think it's such a good idea. And we wish you the best of luck for it. So yes, good luck. And thank you for coming on the podcast today.
No worries. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's it for today, guys. But join us for another TBP Talks episode soon. Bye.